Amy Harrison is our lunch break guest, and she joins me to take a look through the papers. So, what annoys you? Bearing in mind, we do have limited time. apparently, according to a survey out today, nuisance calls are the top annoyance for the nation. Would you go along with that?
Well, when I was driving in and I was listening, and you said that, what's the average? Because you said that that seems...
6 times a week, at least, people are disturbed by nuisance calls.
See, that seems quite high to me. We don't get a huge amount. But, you know, you can register your number against the...
You can, but can you do that with mobiles? Because I get a lot of nuisance calls on my mobile phone now.
I think you can do it with mobiles.
I get a lot of those recorded ones.
Yes.
You know, well, have you had an accident?
My husband...
Have you looked into your PPI?
Yeah, yeah. And my husband, there's a recent one that's going around, and it rings, and it confused him, and it was a strange-looking number, and it says, you know, you're entitled to your refund to... claim your refund, press 5. It's all automated. But then there's been stories of people, if they do that, it just racks up your credit on your phone bill.
Oh.
So he's been ignoring them. And I think those are really horrible ones.
Naughty. Do you know what? As well, I've been getting calls on my mobile from foreign numbers. And one is from, I forget where in America. I've had it a couple of times. And somebody told me you mustn't answer that.
Oh, really?
Because you end up
automatically
racking up loads of money on your bill.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
I had one this morning as well, which I didn't answer. In fact, I never really answer my phone. You want to get hold of me, you've got to leave a message on the answer phone, and then I call you back.
I'm the same.
I'm terrified for vetting my calls.
Oh, I am. I don't, in fact, I realised that on my latest, the latest business cards that I had, I'd completely left my phone number off.
Brilliant.
I just don't think about it. And
yeah.
I'm like you, like, I'll check it if there's something missed or if there's a voicemail, I'll get back to them. But otherwise, I just think there's something weird about jumping, you know, to your phone, and it's like you want to be sort of in touch but out of reach.
Well, that's funny you should say that, because that's also made the list. People who get really annoyed if they're out with someone and they're in the middle of a conversation, their phone rings and they automatically break what they're doing with you to answer that call.
Yeah. That happened to me in the doctor's. And I didn't know how to respond.
But the doctor stopped the consultation to answer the phone.
And it was totally a personal call. It wasn't
an emergency.
No, it was something like, what they're having for tea. I mean, it sounded nice, you know, but I was a little bit dumbstruck. I changed doctors after that. I thought, even that's not right.
No, you can understand if it was an emergency. Like, you know, because I've done it before. I'm really sorry, but I've got to take this call.
Yeah.
But just to chat about whether you've got to buy milk on the way home,
put it in the oven for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's not good, is it? Not good.
Great.
So what would you add to my list of things that annoy you?
Well, the first thing that I thought of was oranges.
Oranges
really annoy me because...
What's an orange ever done to you?
Well, because I know that they're good for you, and I do like to try and eat well as possible, and they're full of vitamin C, but I just find oranges...
They are messy.
First of all, you're really difficult to get into.
Yeah.
You know, they're a faff to get into. You can't peel them off in one go.
You're right.
And then it's a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
If one, it's going to taste nice, or if it's going to be really tart. And two, how many pips it's going to be filled with.
You know, do you know what? I've got the same thing with avocados. Because it's hit and miss.
Yeah.
Hit and
that
miss.
Is a gamble.
You don't know. Is it going to be not ripe enough? Is it going to be overripe?
Yeah.
Can you
bothered? And getting that stern out as well is a hazard. Like, I've had a friend who nearly cut her hand off.
You could easily lose a finger removing an avocado stern.
Yeah.
You're right.
So, fruit.
Oranges, they're on the list. I'm with you all the way, actually. The more I think about it, how annoying oranges are. How very dare you, oranges. I think it's got to be a satsuma all the way. Easy peel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if it's not an easy peel satsuma, I can't be faffed with it.
I want it to come off in one.
Really?
And,
Yeah. Absolutely. Of course, oranges in the news today. Jason Orange.
Oh,
Slinky Link. He's left.
He has left.
Loved the headline on the front page of The Sun. Future's bright, but not orange.
They are good.
Not as good as my headline, though. There's no truth in the rumour. He was squeezed out. Ding! I love it.
Ba-bum-tsh.
Yeah. There's more where that came from, folks. Are you devastated by the news? Are you
I was a peripheral fan in that I liked some of the music, but I did. My friends and I, we have a group text. There's like five of us where we all text each other, and it's mostly about what you're having for your tea because we're up and down the country.
Right.
You know, the important things, what you're watching, and then they always have a go at me because I don't have a TV.
We've spoken about that before.
But they were discussing it last night, and they were sad about it, and they were sending links to the homepage which explained the story behind it. It seems amicable but sad, so I'm sure that there will be helplines set up.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you remember the first time?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Take That split. There were helplines. I mean, people were distraught, devastated fans. I don't think it'll be quite that level of hysteria this time because the fans are slightly older and slightly...
They've grown up now.
Yeah, slightly,
they've got mortgages
slightly
and
more mature,
other things to worry about.
You would hope. But yeah, I don't think there's any bad feeling at all. Howard, Gary and Mark, the remaining members...
Yep, they're going on as a trio.
They're going to carry on. They've released a statement saying, "This is a sad day for us. Jason leaving is a huge loss both professionally and even more so personally. Jason's energy and belief in what this band could achieve has made it what it is today, and we'll forever be grateful for his enthusiasm, dedication and inspiration over the years." So yeah, they're going to continue as a trio. I don't think he's forging a solo career or anything like that. I think he's just kind of had enough.
Yeah,
I think, can you blame him? I mean how much
long
are they worth?
And how long, I don't even want to think about it. It's just going to make me feel old.
Yeah, you can't blame him, really. Does he want to go out on the road touring when he's got millions of pounds stashed away in his bank account? Probably not. I think I'm with the Orange on this one. If you would like to give me your reaction to the news that Jason Orange has left Take That, you can. I don't know if I'm being slightly cynical, but I kind of take all of this people leaving with a pinch. I sort of kind of go, you know already there's going to be the reunion tour.
You know
that's going to happen.
Yeah. How many times have the Rolling Stones split up?
It's the last one.
Until
we really relaunch another tour. Yeah, you know, with Jason Orange, there could now be the farewell tour.
Oh,
there could
be
the thank you to the fans tour. And then, as I say, before you know it, the reunion tour. Yeah. So I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it. I think that's what I'm saying. I'm joined in the studio by Amy Harrison. Amy Harrison is our lunch break guest today, taking a look through the papers. And we're talking about these figures which have revealed nuisance calls are Britain's top annoyance, but I'm asking, what really annoys you? Would that be number one on your list? Doug calls from Lancing, and I love this, Doug, because it says here on my screen, Doug wants to stick up for oranges.
Absolutely, yes, I'd like to.
I love that. That's what moved you to pick the phone up. I'm sorry, but that's it. I've just got to. I had to call in. I couldn't let oranges be maligned in this way.
Go on then.
Well,
firstly, I should tell Amy that the question of the quality of your orange, because people like satsumas because they're easy to peel, they tend to get an orange that's a bit sort of baggy, you know, the skin isn't really tight.
Loose. Mm.
But what that means is that it's dehydrated inside. What you really want with an orange is you want a really hard, solid orange, and that means it's full of juice.
You've given this some thought, Doug.
Well, it's not thought, it's just experience.
Oh, I see. This is many years of orange eating.
I eat them every day, so three or four every day.
Oh, wow. And three or four oranges a day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I eat mine faster than just about any other fruit.
And it's
just because people try and peel them. Well, that's the wrong way to go about it. What you do is you simply cut it into four pieces, into quarters.
Mm. And with the skin on?
With the skin on. Mm. If you're like me and you just want to eat it before you do some exercise or something, then you stand by the sink, really, and just peel the skin away as you shove it into your mouth.
What a beautiful picture you paint.
Yes, but if you want to be a bit more, you know, add a bit more decorum to it, you can then simply peel the four pieces away, and it peels off terribly easily once you've cut it into quarters.
Top tip from Doug in Lancing.
I am writing
there
these down.
I'm now looking at oranges in a completely different light.
I feel bad.
To you.
I feel like they're just misunderstood.
You're orangist. That's what you are, Amy. You're an orangist.
Alison, if you do that, if you try that, and you can eat an orange and it's like an instant energy burst. Mm. It's amazing. It's really nice, yeah.
And that's why you're on three or four of them a day. Wow, you're really getting your five a day then. Are you having other fruits, or are you just a one orange man? Or a three orange man?
Well, no, I do like pineapples as well. They're also quite easy to eat if you know how to. If you've got the right tool, you need a special pineapple cutting tool for that. But that's
my dad's got one of those. Oh
really?
My gosh! Oh, is he proud of his pineapple peeler or whatever he calls it? Oh my life!
Yeah, pineapple. Cooler.
Yeah, he loves it. He does love a gadget, and I'll tell you what, his pineapple gadget. Whoa!
I'm gonna have to look
He's very proud of that.
I've got a silly silly rules is the thing that I don't like though myself. And I've got a little story from Monday that happened to us.
Oh yeah, go on. Being jobs worth.
Yes, exactly. So we went to the Science Museum and
it's good there.
It is good, yes. We had a couple of little five-year-old girls, so we only did the ground floor and the basement, and then they were getting pretty hungry and tired. And we'd just been looking at the exhibit that makes you feel completely inadequate if you're not able to build your own 3D printer at home.
Brilliant.
Looking at that, and then we thought, oh, well, let's go and have some food. We sat down, and I had some modelling balloons with me, so I'm blowing up some balloons and made some little monkeys for the kids and some princess hats.
And, wow. Are these your children?
No, they're friends of mine. They're friends of mine. I haven't seen for a while.
I was going to say, someone said you was like super dad, but like even better, like super super dad's friend.
Well, we were there. I made these balloons, and then the staff at the restaurant were all kind of laughing and looking at them, thinking it was fun, and then pen to draw some eyes on them and stuff. And then this officious chap comes up with a suit and a badge. And he says, I'm terribly sorry, you can't... We have a museum policy, no balloons.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
No-balloon policy.
And so I said to him, okay, but what's the reason for that? And he said, because children let go of the balloons and they float up and get it and interfere with the exhibits on the ceiling.
Jeez. You know what? He let himself down. He let you down.
He let the Science Museum down. I said to the kids, now you've really learned something today about gases.
Yes. in more ways than one. Brilliant. I tell you what, Doug, I bet you didn't like oranges either.
Well,
he's one of those. He's anti-oranges, he's anti-balloons. Thank you so much for your call, Doug. Well, there you go. You'll never say a bad word about an orange again, will you, Amy?
I won't. I'm going to give him another go.
Yeah. Linda calls from Dorking. Afternoon, Linda.
Hello, Alison.
First of all, where do you stand on the issue of oranges?
Take them or leave them, really. I can't feel it. I'm not interested.
There you go. Girl after my own heart. We're talking about nuisance calls.
Well, I know you'll find this a little hard to understand, but I was a bit naughty yesterday.
Oh, sound like you, Linda.
Yes, I know. And I had the phone went, and obviously, you know, I work from home, so I'm on the phone quite a lot in my business. And I'd had a bit of one of those mornings, and I thought, oh, God, who's this? And this voice said, could I speak to Martin Wodehouse, please? So you can imagine.
Ooh, your late husband.
Yes, but anyway, it doesn't bother me. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't worry me or anything like that. I took a deep breath, and then I was quite naughty, and I said, well, either you're going to have to shout, or unless you've got a direct dial to the Almighty.
No, Linda.
Yes.
Awkward. What did they say? They must have felt awful.
Very quiet the other end of the phone. And I thought, I've had a couple of these recently, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's a year down the line now, and most people that matter, everyone that matters knows now that he's not around anymore. And I'm thinking, some people would get quite upset with those calls.
Well, yeah, it's a serious issue because, you know, you say it doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother me now. It did when it...
Yeah, but a lot of people would be really, really upset by that.
I just sort of put that and then I just sort of said that and this very quiet voice the other end of the phone said, I think we'll take his name off the database. I said... I think you'd better, don't you?
Oh, dear.
I bet you went straight in and thought, taking that one off, I'm not doing that again.
No, absolutely. Oh,
I think it would have been better if he'd said, is it possible, or is Martin Wodehouse there, or something like that, rather than directly
assuming.
Martin Wodehouse, assuming that he was here.
Mm. Oh, Linda, lots of love. Thank you for your call. That is a tricky one, isn't it?
That is. I remember in English, and we were studying Thomas Hardy and his poems. Now, he was a long, long time ago. I can't remember when. And one of his poems was about receiving a circular in the mail to his late wife.
Oh.
And it was about, you know, the pain of seeing something which was basically advertising. But this was years ago. And it's funny how that still happens today. It still causes a lot of pain. Now it's just... they've got so much more technology in order to reach us and be even more invasive.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard. And yet I do feel for, you know, the person on the other end of the phone because they're just going off a database.
They're just doing a job.
Make so many calls a day.
Probably working for minimum wage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. We're talking about things that annoy us this afternoon. Nuisance calls are apparently Britain's top annoyance. Would you go along with that? You can text 81333, start your message with the word radio, or you can call 03459 570057. Can you believe it? 20 years since the first episode of Friends. Were you a fan, Amy?
I was, although I never saw the last episode.
You missed the last episode.
I know. I can't remember why. I don't know.
It'll be repeated. Yeah. It's got to be the most repeated show ever.
Oh, yeah.
Second
like,
to Come Dine With Me. I
heard
think.
You say, yeah. You know, you could always find an episode on form or four.
Somewhere in the world,
Friends
at
is
any
being
given
shown.
Time, Friends is being shown.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Have you ever done a Ross and Rachel? By that I mean, have you ever fallen in love with your best friend?
I did.
Did you?
Get
in, right. Come on, brilliant. Pull up a chair, get yourself a cuppa. Let's hear the full story.
So back in, a few years ago, I had an advert out for myself as a singer and I was looking for a band and I joined a country band, a bluegrass band. And thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was a magical year. I just started working for myself, and we were gigging all the time. And the banjo player, we became.
This is like
I know
this is
it's
like,
not even a joke.
It's like a country song title. I fell in love with the banjo player.
It is. Apparently, it's every girl's dream.
Yes.
That's what he told me.
Right, and you believed him.
And we were just gigging all the time. We were both in other relationships, both not looking for anything, and over that year, just became very close. And he became my best friend. And I noticed when I would start to call him, you know, if things happened at work or if, you know, and you just realised.
And he was the one you wanted to tell.
Yeah, but there was that whole thing of, well, we're really good friends and we're in a band together. You know, what happens?
If it didn't work out.
Yeah, and so we both sort of separately left our other relationships and we just kind of took that plunge, you know, leapt off the cliff and then we got married.
So it did work out.
It
happy
did
ever
work
after.
Out. But there was that big pull of what changes now, you know, and how, you know, how will this affect? I think we're both most bothered about the band. Like, how is this going to affect gigs? How are the other band members?
But what did the other band members make of it? Were they all right about it? Or?
Well, we changed lineup. There was one guy who'd been with us the whole time, and there was one who just joined just as we were getting together. And so to him, this was just fresh, and he was like, "Oh yeah, that's great." And I think the other one, he was just very into his music. I don't think he was that bothered.
Brilliant.
As long as, you know, we're still going to gig, we're still going to play. Yeah.
And was it a bit awkward in the beginning? Because there is that scene that I remember from Friends with Ross and Rachel when they decide to take things that step further. And she just starts laughing because she's like, hang on a minute, that's my best friend Ross with his hand on my bottom. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, it took a little bit of adjusting. And I mean, I can't. But I think we laughed anyway. That was one of the things that sort of attracted to us. And I think we still probably laugh about that stuff today.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take a lot to set us off. Yeah,
the best way. Well, there you have it. Amy's done it. Have you? Have you done a Ross and Rachel? You can give us a call 03459 570057, or you can text the word radio followed by your message to 81333. Amy Harrison is our lunch break guest this afternoon on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. Andrew is in New Haven. He's got in touch on the text line with a comment about the sad news that Jason Orange is to quit Take That. Andrew says it sounds like he's lost his appeal. It's not as good, I don't think, as my No Rumour and the Truth He Was Squeezed Out. But I'm going to give you a point for that one, Andrew. On the subject of things that annoy him, he says mums with buggies who push the buggy into the road whilst on their mobile phone.
Yep.
Rob says, Alison, I hate it when bananas are packed in plastic bags and shelved after being in a cold storage and then put on display, thrown under supermarket lighting as other fruits. He then says, which took a long time to text. Wendy in Worthing says, I agree with Doug about eating an orange cut into quarters and then standing over the sink. I also do the same with the grapefruit. Thank you for sharing. And this on the email, from Hugh, a list actually of his very own about things that really annoy him. At number one, the phrase doo-doo, as in that's what they do-do. One do is required. It's like saying I'm going upstairs.
I say that and then laugh because I've said doo-doo.
Yeah, doo-doo. It's a funny word, isn't it? At number two, the phrase later on. The on bit is not required. Try it and see. I'll see you later on. I'll see you later. Yeah. Hey, throw in an extra word.
Yeah.
At three, the phrase at the end of the day.
Yeah.
He says it's usually night time. Yeah, but it's so easy. It's so easy to slip into that way of talking. At number four, the statement, as big as X number of football pitches. When did a football pitch become a standard of measurement? Yeah. There are several sizes of pitches, and I have no idea how big they might be, as I, like many other people, have no interest in the business or game they think it is.
Which is funny, because the describing it as football pitches is to help illustrate a size.
Yes.
But then if there are different sizes, you've lost it, really.
And finally, he says that number five, people that are interviewed or speak on the radio or TV that say or my after every third word. He says, listen next time. Shall I carry on? Oh, you.
it's a very word-based anger there. I did once see something very that I really liked on Facebook that said, you know, my favourite time of the day is the end of the day because it's where everything comes together and makes sense.
Yes. Brilliant. You can get in touch with your personal bugbear. Text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Virgin Sir Richard Branson has told his personal staff they can take as much paid annual leave as they want, whenever they want. To begin with, the new rules will only apply to the 170 people who work directly for Sir Richard. But he says the policy could be adopted for all Virgin staff. There is a catch, though. Before you take a month off, you need to be confident all your tasks and those of your team have been completed. A similar scheme operates at the media agency The Seven Stars. Its co-founder is Jenny Bigham.
It works incredibly well, actually. So we've run a company very successfully for the last 9 years without a single holiday form. So if you work for a company that you are involved with and that you share the goals of that company, people don't take advantage of the system.
Maybe that's the key. See, at Jenny's company, she says the staff all share in the profits, so they all have a good reason to make sure the company is well run and everyone is working hard. But what if you work for a firm where you don't get a cut of the profits? What's to stop you heading for the beach? And who cares what happens in the office? Except that your colleagues aren't going to be best pleased if you're off for weeks on end. Lucy Kellaway is a journalist at the Financial Times. She thinks you could end up with less leave, not more, as everyone monitors everyone else's holiday.
It doesn't mean it's going to be the end of counting who takes what. It's going to be the beginning of counting, because you're endlessly going to be looking over your shoulder to think, is it okay to be off? How much have I had off relative to my colleagues? So no, I think it's a disaster.
I think she's right, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I can see with him saying, you know, making sure everything, all your tasks are done, then I quite like that. And I suppose working for myself, it's very similar. If I get everything done for my clients, if I'm on top of everything, then I can take as much time as I like off, you know. But I don't.
How can you ever be on top of everything? I mean, what happens to your workload while you're away?
But
then, if you decide to go off to the Caribbean for a month.
Yeah, and I suppose you would question why you would need to take off a month as well, because that is going to put you a little
bit out. I wouldn't question that at all.
But it's going to put you out of touch, I think, with that length of time. But I mean, I had a job once where I was in charge of my own holiday card and others. And if I was running out of days, I would just smudge a few.
Amy, what a revelation. It can get quite tricky though, can't it, with leave requests? I wouldn't want to be a boss who had to deal with all of that.
Because
what happens, you know, if all of your staff members all want half term off? They all want that same week. I mean, what do you do? How do you decide who gets leave when they want it and who doesn't?
And like that the lady was saying, you know, it's almost like, okay, you can have unlimited leave and then now sit back and see who tries to take it.
Yeah. You've got unlimited leave. You'll get the sack when you return, but you go for it. Have a great time.
And your colleagues will hate you.
Yeah.
But yeah, do it. Go for it.
It could cause real friction, couldn't it, within the workplace, you know, with other people saying, oh, hang on, they're taking the mic.
Yeah.
I think you'd have they had off?
You'd have to have a really solid team that, you know, looked after each other. I mean, I've worked in good teams, I've worked in bad teams before, and there are teams where, I'll cover for you, take it, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because you know that they'd do the same for you.
But and people then could take liberties.
Yeah.
Although, I'm not saying I'm against the idea. In fact, if my boss is listening, I think this is something we should definitely trial.
Should absolutely be implemented.
I think we should give it a go at least. Yeah. You don't know until you try
these
things.
Let's not rule everything out.
No, absolutely. All of our options still on the table and all of that. I'd love to hear from you on this. Would this work where you work? How tricky is it for you to get leave? I mean, what happens? Are there certain people who kind of get in there 1st of January, they block out all the weeks
the
they
terms,
want off?
All
yeah,
the bank
they're there, they're organised, they know exactly what they're doing. I'd love to hear from you. The number 03459 570057. I'm also asking whether or not you've ever done a Ross and Rachel, fallen in love with your best friend. Did it have a happy ending like Amy? Also, we're talking about things that annoy us. Sarah in Dorking says, "Hi, ladies. I get annoyed when petrol attendants don't pay attention and forget to press the button at their till so I can't start fueling up. It's so annoying." Kate says, "My pet annoyance is being held in a phone queue whilst being told how important my call is."
Yeah, that's
that
a good one.
That is infuriating, yeah. Ian from Crawley says, "I got rid of my landline 4 years back as I got those cold calls, and I don't give out my mobile number to people I don't know." Oh, Stephen Hove's got in touch to say, "Amy, the last episode of Friends was on last night on Comedy Central." So there you go. Jen in Hove gets annoyed by pedestrians who have their eyes glued to their mobile phones while crossing the road. And this texter, well, they win the prize for best Jason Orange joke. They simply write, "On the subject of Jason Orange, I think everyone's taking the piss." He disagrees with me. I said earlier that I find lists quite annoying. And I know it's a bit ironic that I'm actually writing a list of annoying things as we speak, but he disagrees. Steve says, "I actually find lists are very helpful to organise my thoughts. I've studied many of the self-help books over the years, and using lists has always been the most helpful." He says the most annoying thing, for sure, is nuisance calls. Thank you for that.
We had a row at the weekend, my husband and I, over a list, because we have a board and the chores go up of like what we've got to do, you know, recycling, rubbish. And I found that he'd crossed off a job that I'd just done.
Oh, cheeky.
And I went to the board and I was thinking, I haven't crossed it off. And he said, "No, I crossed it off." And I was...
No,
we nearly fell out.
You don't get to cross off the jobs I've done. The only reason I do the job is so I get the satisfaction of putting a cross through it.
Crossing,
You
don't do that.
No, there are rules. You need another list of the rules next to your list.
Mm.
Yeah, so he knows, everyone knows where they stand. Something that annoys you in coffee shops?
Tall chairs or stools.
Yes.
And they've become very popular and they look really funky and really high.
But there's no ladylike way of clambering onto one, or even more so getting off.
Yeah, and if you're small like I am, it just feels like I'm getting onto a climbing frame to have a hot drink. Like nothing about this seems safe.
No.
Nothing is elegant. Same as with in you know, trendy wine bars that do it as well. And it just, my heart just sinks, you know.
Yeah, and actually involving alcohol into the equation is even more riskier, really, isn't it? Don't be sat up on a high stool sipping your glass
with your legs
wine.
Dangling and then thinking at some point I've got to hop off of this.
A recipe for disaster, you're right. We've added it to the list. If you'd like to tell me what annoys you, you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Now, let's find out about a concert happening this weekend. We can talk to Dominic Greer. He is conductor of the Worthing Philharmonic Orchestra, and he joins us on the line. Afternoon, Dominic.
Good afternoon, Alison.
Anything that annoys you that you'd like to get off your chest this afternoon?
Well, I have to say the traffic in central London has to be top of my annoyance list. Not even necessarily when you're driving yourself, but even sitting in a taxi. When you hit a traffic jam and there's no escape,
there's no side road.
I've just been in one, and thankfully got to my destination, but late, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I bet it cost you as well, because when you sat in the back of the cab, watching that meter, aren't you, thinking,
right.
Oh my gosh, this is costing me money to be sat here bored in traffic. tell us about the concert happening this weekend.
Right, well, it's basically a last night of the Proms favourites type concert, for those who are familiar with the BBC last night.
Yes.
I mean, it's a real traditional date in this orchestra's calendar. It's been going for a number of years, and they always very much enjoy it. We've basically got all of the last night's perennial favourites, the Jerusalem, Rule Britannia, you know, pomp and circumstance march and all of that sort of stuff. And the first half also includes some really popular pieces that I think people will know and would love to hear. The
Great.
The Dance Macabre, which is made famous on Jonathan Creek, is the theme tune for that.
Oh, yes.
Orpheus in the Underworld, which has the big can theme everyone knows.
Yes.
So lots of things to whet everyone's appetite.
And the thing is, if people have enjoyed watching BBC's Last Night at the Proms on TV, this is a great opportunity to actually experience a live prom concert.
Well, that's right, yes, because it's so incredibly difficult to get tickets for yeah. the last night. You know, people camp out and book well in advance. So, this is a real chance to experience something live in their area. It's very much a community event for us.
Yeah, without having to spend a night under canvas. It's a win-win, yes. I think.
It's a win-win. So we're also involving the Boundstone Chorus, I should mention, as well, which is an excellent local chorus. They're not just the orchestra.
Great. So tell us where and when and how do people get tickets?
It's at the Assembly Hall, a lovely Art Deco building in Worthing, 7:30 p.m. this Saturday. Tickets from the Worthing Theatre's box office. The number is 01903-206-206, or they have a website, Worthing Theatre's box office, worthingtheatre.co.uk. Tickets from £8 to £15, children under 16 and students £3.
Brilliant. Dominic, thanks so much for telling us about it. Emily, back with you this Sunday morning on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. Don't miss it. So, taking a look at some of the other stories in the papers. Who knew? The England team, footballers in the team, really into quizzes.
Yeah, apparently England manager Roy Hodgson says his players are real masterminds when it comes to general knowledge quizzes. Apparently they do lots of quizzes to help them relax before big games. And
right.
he says, you know, it would be... they're very good with general knowledge and it would be a mistake to misjudge them because I think footballers are the brainiest people I know.
There is this unfortunate stereotype that footballers tend to be a little bit dim. And it must be really frustrating, actually, because if you are a good, decent footballer, who's to say that you're not intellectual as well?
Yeah, it's definitely a stereotype. But are you any good with general knowledge quizzes?
I think I am. Whether I am or not, I'm not sure. I get very, very competitive.
Yes.
But people do. I mean, I've been to pub quizzes where people take it incredibly seriously.
Yes.
I've also hosted a few quizzes where people have taken me to task. And I'm sorry, but the number one rule of a quiz is the quiz master is always right.
Yeah.
And the decision is final. But people have taken me to task everything. I think you'll find I just Googled that. And I think that's the biggest bugbear. If you're someone who is hosting a quiz... everyone's got a smartphone now. Everyone's got the answers in their fingertips.
Although I went to one recently and they were very, it was very open and I think they do rely on you informing on other people and a level of trust, you know, because that was one of their rules. It's like, if we even have the inkling that you are Googling something, that's it. You forfeit, you know, you and
you're
your
out
team
of
are
here.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah,
so they were good fun. And I like general knowledge quizzes because it makes me feel like there's a value there for this useless stuff that I know.
Yes, I knew it would come in handy one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Also, I see that Prince George has managed to avoid his first traffic ticket, his first parking ticket. I'm not sure what I think about this.
Very craftily of him. Apparently, the nanny and George were at Battersea Park and they didn't pay for parking next to all the other cars that were paying for parking, and a warden came along, wrote a ticket, and then someone else came along and waved something or other at them, and the ticket went away.
I don't think that's fair. I don't care if you're the nanny of the prince. I mean, at the end of the day, they should get fined just like the rest of us, no?
Well, I don't, you know, it's not going to be a hardship for them.
But
and
I think it's not like they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked your way out of a parking ticket?
No, I've only ever had one because I've only ever recently sort of really started driving when I bought my car. And it was unfair. I was parked into a space, I think, and there was a massive car next to me parked quite over. And so I was a smidgen on the yellow lines next to the beer. And £50. I just paid it because I just wanted to forget about it rather than appeal.
You see, I'm a real hypocrite because there's me saying I think they should have made Prince George's nanny pay that parking fine. I have actually talked my way out of a few.
Have you?
Sound surprised, just with my natural charming demeanour, obviously.
No, just as in I'm keen for any tips, should the...
I think maybe maybe they thought I was going to cry. I don't know. No. I just say I'm ever so sorry. I just literally, I've always got a story.
Yeah.
You won't believe what happened.
Yeah.
And I've managed to, they've let me off.
Yeah, my mum's done that. She's quite good at doing
that.
And
to be fair, I haven't parked it there for a long time. Like, I have literally just been nipping in to find change. That old chestnut. Or there was one time. I was pregnant and I had really bad morning sickness and I was actually being sick. And I think I probably looked so green when I came back to the car. They were like, whatever, just don't be sick on
drive
me.
Away.
Just go. Get out of here. So they do sometimes show a little bit of leeway. And just finally, because we are rapidly approaching the news at 2 o'clock, bendy iPhones.
Yeah, all over the news. So massive launch of the iPhone, whatever number it is six.
And other phones are available.
And it bends in your pocket. So now tons of videos, tons of pictures, because it's so thin and people are wearing tighter pants, I think.
Well, we'll put it down to that. Amy, as always, it's been enlightening. Thank you.
Thank you.